My name's Shane. This is Art of the Yard. We're here doing our Pondside podcast. This is going to be our first episode. We're going to give you a little bit of a look into who we are and what we do and kind of why we got into the things that we do and go from there.
Where were you guys when you guys first started?
Shane was like four, so.
Yeah, so that's how I kind of got into the industry is, you know, just a love of ponds with my dad. He built our first pond when I was 3 years old. And so, you know, just always being out there with him. He was a Denver police officer, so it was really his kind of release, relaxation piece to it. So he had just a love for the hobby. And, you know, and that grew my love for it as well. So it's kind of where it all started for me. Yeah, I was about 3 or 4 years old when we built our first pond. And it just kind of blossomed from there, you know, just fell in love with it. You know, our first pond, it was like a 5-gallon bucket in the bottom with concrete and just, you know, very rough. We had to go in and repaint it every year to reseal it and have this little waterfall that was like 6 inches wide, kind of coming down a little concrete mound and just, yeah, it looked horrendous. But it was our start, you know, and just had a couple koi at a time and just fell in love with it.
Yeah, my start was, he was my manager at Big Toolbox. Yeah, tough. Right. 14 years old and just fell in love with the hobby and you know, setting up all the koi ponds and loved the fish. So, and then you guys showed up.
Yeah, I think my first time on Indeed, actually, you guys messaged me first and were like, if you want an interview, come on down. And because I was just in the area of just general landscape because I was cutting grass before this. And it was 5 years ago. And I think within the first 6 months, I realized like this is actually something to be proud of and the way that we can affect people in there.
A little better than cutting grass.
Yeah, a little bit more entertaining. Yeah.
See, I started out at sewer before I started here. And then I lost my job and Craigslist and chain and everybody called me and I started. And I liked rocks beforehand and yeah. I like doing rocks. And
yeah, I think that's the one thing we all definitely had in common before Art of the Yard is our fascination in just random rocks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I guess I should check your referrals, huh?
Yeah, you should. Rocks.
I was trying to think back when we started the Big Toolbox. Did you start in the pond department?
No, I was loading bags of mulch in people's cars.
Out on the drive.
Yeah.
So. And Lance worked there before your brother, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. They had a pond department?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the Toolbox, right? Do they still do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really? Guess I don't go in there enough.
Yeah, that's quite the thing. And we used to, when it first started, when I was manager there, there's like an indoor water feature. And just, you know, just going down there every week and seeing all these different ponds that they had set up there just really kind of grew that love. You know, they had this kind of pond that flowed downhill and they had different sections with different size koi that you could purchase.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then there was like this gazebo or amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of stairs that went down. And you could go, you know, they had like little summer concerts there and stuff. And they had a couple waterfalls on each side. So it was really neat. Great place to start. And that's, you know, my family and I would go in there probably once a week and just, you know, buy nursery plants and stuff for the pond and things like that. And I decided I wanted to build a pond of my own at the house. So at first my dad said no. So...
Every what Calvin day. Says goes too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If he says no, it's hard to change it other ways. So I would take my backpack and walk by the creek on the way home and fill my backpack full of rocks. And I got this pile of rocks that was, you know, got probably half a ton or so rocks home over like 6 months of walking home. My dad finally just gave in and he was like, all right, you can do the pond.
There you go.
And so just going back and forth from the Big Toolbox building that pond, they offered me the position down there. So
you're here enough. You might as well get paid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
what was your piece of it? What was your first joy?
Probably my first complete job by myself as a foreman.
Which one was that? Do you remember?
Honestly, completely... probably with some help. Probably Gardner was probably my favorite in the beginning. That and Robbins.
I think your first one that I remember was that one in Boulder.
Oh,
that was the waterfall that came down and there was that pond up top and then the waterfall went down the hill.
I don't remember that one.
There was like a big stone that went out the for like a bridge right on the top side. Yeah. I think that was the first project I remember working with you on.
Was that the boulder job with the giant rock that you guys had to jackhammer for like 2 weeks? Was
no,
that that project?
No, that was a smaller job.
Yeah.
That was a little bubble rock that was big in the first place. We had to jackhammer. But it was in a small area.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking about a bigger one.
Yeah.
It was also a big project. 6-7 years ago, so yeah. It's hard for me to remember that many.
Yeah, that far back.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I don't 7 know years how you, for you. How you're still around.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man.
Feels like 20 years to us.
Yeah.
Feels like
I have 40 more. Years. I have more gray. I went bald and got gray in the beard because of both of you. So
it's like doing my job.
Oh, wait. Just wait. It'll
yeah,
come.
Yeah. Early retirement.
Yep.
And then let's see. After that, we both worked. Well, I started a pawn shop and pond, not pawn. And we sold all the fish and plants and components. And that's actually where I met Frayne because he was our OWASA rep back at that. It was called Rocky Mountain Pond Supply. Heath and I did that for, 3 or 4 years,
yep.
Probably. Then they had a ton of water restrictions that came in Colorado, and they didn't allow people to do ponds anymore right when we went to a bigger spot. Kind of killed that.
And that's actually where you met Barry, right, from yeah. Falls by Fox?
Yeah, he was one of our first customers in there.
And then we both ended up working there, so.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story how he came to find us again because he was one of our big customers in there, and he'd come in and he'd call and say, I need this and this and this for a pond. And we would always like get it all put together and ready for him. So he'd show up and just take it and go and, you know, get back to his job and really make it efficient for him. And so when we closed down, he knew that my dad was a police officer. So he called the police station and he was looking for me and looking for my dad. And so my dad called me and he's like, somebody called the police station looking for you. I was like, oh, God, what did I do this time?
There's so many options.
Yeah, which one was it? And so that's how Barry found me and had me come up for an interview and start the next day for him. And I was actually like a week away from taking the test to be a police officer. So, yeah, I'm glad I didn't do that. But yeah, pulled me back into it. So. And then Heath came up. Pretty quick after that.
A year after, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Something like that. We were there probably 10, 12 years all together. And that was our first job where we were really, because we were on the retail side of everything. And so that's where we kind of shifted to the installation side.
And we did retail there as well.
Yeah.
They had a pond department there. So,
but yeah, really learned a lot of some of our techniques and styles and things like that. You know, we learned a lot of what we liked from what they were doing and what we didn't like from what they were doing and just kind of grew with it. So. And then actually before that, we were at Arapahoe Acres or no, at
Columbine Design.
Yeah. Yeah. And did some installs there, some landscaping, but yeah, not a whole lot of water feature stuff. It was more on the landscaping side of things. So. And then 2010,
mm-hmm.
got Art of the Yard going.
13 years.
Yeah.
Hey, hello.
Next, I'd like to talk about kind of how we really grew as a company and how we kind of came to where we are now. And I think for me, a big piece of that was when we really got involved on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started really kind of putting our stuff out there. And for me, I just learned so many techniques from all the great builders around. And as we were doing the social media piece, Eric Triplett was the first one to reach out from Helix.
Yeah.
And, you know, just said he loved our rock work, you know, and kind of introduced us to the manufacturer side of things, you know, because we always had the relationship with CPS, but we never really talked to any manufacturers, you know.
Yeah.
We'd see Jim Chubb every once in a while, but you know, we didn't really grow and work on our relationships. And Eric invited Heath and I out to California. And that was kind of the thing that really got us going. And we became,
because he was super heavy into social media and we weren't. And he was like, this is where it's at. This is where everything's headed. And he was right. I mean, it was a big movement. So,
yeah, I remember he was pushing us so hard to get on Snapchat, and I still to this day can't.
I have an account, but yeah. I don't know how to use it.
Yeah, I think Eric's daughter, didn't she set up Snapchats for us? Yeah,
they forced
like,
us to.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. I can't do it. But, you know, I think Instagram for me was the one that really kind of worked and felt good on. And I think the visuals of what we do is so important on social media and really grew our Instagram account. Love. Now we're trying the podcast here. So see how that
does. Did you post today?
I did not. It's on me.
Yeah. Did you get a story on there today?
Nope.
Ah, slack.
Sorry.
So, you know, so yeah, I think that was the big thing for me that kind of got us involved and got us out there. And then we really got involved with Atlantic Water Gardens. And that was our real big push of, you know, kind of growing as a piece of the industry and where I wanted to be, which was, you know, a leader in the industry and somebody that other contractors could really reach out to and help grow, you know, help everybody, you know, especially we went through so many trials. You know, what did we have? We had one truck for the two of us when we started.
Yeah.
And I think $47.
And my wife's Jeep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$47 in the bank account. And yeah, it was tough going. You know, I remember that first winter we got like, we were so close to finishing a job and it was like right before Christmas. So I knew both of us, you know, couldn't buy Christmas presents for anybody or anything. And then it snowed 3 feet on us. And
you know, we did.
Shoveled
a path through the 3 feet and worked the rest of the week.
Yeah. We were out there. Yeah. Doing mortar when we shouldn't have. And we were like, we just got to get paid. Like, nobody's getting a Christmas gift. We're probably not going to have enough gas to get home. We've got to get this thing wrapped up and finished up. And, but yeah, those are the pieces that kind of brought us together and got us through. And, you know, the things that I'm proud of for us, because, you know, we never borrowed any money. We just, you know, did the American dream. We hustled and struggled and worked hard and, you know.
Are we in the dream? Is this the dream?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
Some days a nightmare. But,
yeah.
You know, Fridays.
What was your favorite piece of kind of coming in and being involved in, like a project that really stands out to you?
I would say probably what got me more involved was Pro Estos and working on that deck with your brother Lance, and then along with the patio with Ben, and then the water feature with him and Brandon. Yeah. I think that project really showed it. I mean, it involved every aspect of what we did. I mean, decks every now and then, pond, patio, walkway, plantings, mulch. It really involved everything. And I think that's really where I started to want to grow with the company and all that.
And I could see that. You were just kind of a punk kid when you first started with us. Yeah. And then it seemed like after that job, you just kind of, started wanting to learn things.
I mean, day one, I definitely didn't think I'd be here 5 years later.
I didn't either.
I didn't either.
But yeah, here we are. I've covered a lot of ground since then, so.
Yeah, there were probably a lot of times during all of it that we thought that this maybe the end of it.
There was a couple times. Yep.
There was a couple.
Yeah, there's been that for all of us, though.
So. Correct.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
What do you think, Heath, kind of grew your love and passion?
I don't, you know, once we kind of branched out and started creating our own image of how we want to build water features, you know, Barry kind of gave us the foundation, and then that wasn't enough. And so, you know, just coming up with new ways to build, new techniques, setting rocks different, just getting a passion to make our own way was, you know, my biggest drive. So. Yeah.
I think to me, the thing that really stands out for you is the love of, you know, the rock setting and the puzzle and the putting it together. You know, you really have such an eye for that. It really brings it all together when you can, you know, get out there and get on the machine and set the rocks the way you want to. I think, you know, I don't know that there's anybody here that, you know, can do those things that you can do.
I appreciate that.
Shows.
Mike even questions it to this day.
Yeah. Every time you're out on a build.
I'm like, don't.
I don't see it. What's going on? But it always, we always work through it, right?
Most of the time it works out.
That grotto stone.
99%.
That grotto stone was that maybe 1%.
Yeah, that might be the 1%.
It worked.
It did. It did.
Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, and that's really something that's a fun piece of it too for me, because when we started, you know, it was all water features. And I remember we got a bid and it was like, I want a water feature, but I want a little seating bench on the side of it.
We were so scared to do that.
We were like, there's no way we can build a seat bench. And I'm like looking at it and I'm like, it's cinder blocks and you level it and stone veneered. I mean, we're doing the same things right in the waterfall. Like, why can't we do this?
Right.
But it was just so foreign to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we just were like, I don't know. And I think we even passed on the job.
Because of seat walls and kitchens and stuff.
Yeah.
But.
And getting like 2 or 3 years into it, we were like, I don't know if there's enough pond work out here to really keep us going and feed our families and do the things that we want to do. So we really branched down into that other aspect of it. And now I have as much enjoyment out of building a great patio or, you know, a seat bench, outdoor kitchen, something like that, that really takes it to that next level.
I'd almost argue washing off the poly on a massive patio is almost as enjoyable as the first startup on a water feature, depending obviously on the job and how long it took to do it. But I think hardscapes definitely play a big part.
Yeah, especially when you put them together.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, sitting on one, like, oh, nice patio, but you build it, you're like, God,
you really that is
a job right there. Yeah. So, and now I look at every patio, every pillar, everything.
And critique it. I could do it better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's the fun part. Like, when you get older into this game and you drive through neighborhoods and you're like, I built that patio. I did that water feature at that house over there. You know, you kind of go back over and, reminisce every neighborhood you drive in for the rest of your life. It's like the landscaper with their kids in the backseat, you know, and you're like, I built that water feature over there.
I don't care, Dad.
Right.
You're already annoyed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Gannon and Barrett have probably been on half the jobs anyway. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I still impress them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Lauren could care less. You know, and that that drive from all of us, you know, it's created some pretty cool opportunities. You know, being Atlantic Contractor of the Year in 2018.
Yeah, and that was our first big kind of national recognition on that award that really kind of catapulted us and I think made other people kind of look and see who we were, and, you know, and I think brought us a lot of friendships because of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we still go to Cleveland every year and you know, we're making friends and people know who we are.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool,
yeah.
You know, for people to respect your work like that.
Yeah, I think without, you know, that Atlantic Contractor of the Year, we never would have met Lloyd and Jason and Gerard and all those guys and, you know, Tanner Flowers and everybody. The wild card.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and getting that monster award from Lloyd, you know, that was.
As an ambassador, that's what that award is, right? Like,
yeah, you know, learning. Growing the industry, somebody that's really helping with
which is something we have a passion in. But.
What was our first Water Artisan of the Year award?
Von Lupke's.
Von Lupke.
Yeah. Hardscape Combo.
Yeah, the Hardscape Combo.
And that was one of your first features with us, huh?
Yeah.
Nightmare. The thing was a nightmare.
Lance said not to call him if the wall burst.
And it burst.
That's the first phone call we made.
Yeah, we were sitting, we had all the forms in. And I had one bid that morning and I went and picked up donuts for everybody because I knew it was a hard morning getting that concrete all poured in that wall. Yeah, and I show up and the wall's falling in and everything's
a yard of concrete's going into the pond.
Yeah.
Those were the most bitter donuts I've ever eaten in my
Brandon
life.
Brandon was in there with probably 12 5-gallon buckets trying to get the concrete out before it set.
It was fun.
Yeah, learned a lot on that project.
Yeah, we did.
For sure. Yeah. Learned it the hard way, unfortunately.
Hey, but it won, you know, Water Artisan of the Year. So.
Yeah. And that was Hardscape Water Feature Combo.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was that was the first real contemporary project we did.
Yeah.
Especially that scale. But
I think it was really cool how that opened so many doors. You know, mm-hmm. that that first contemporary feature was such a nightmare.
We were scared to bid those too.
Right.
We realized that we can do anything really with the team. So. Yeah.
And now it's probably 20% of the water features we do are on that contemporary set of things. And we were just, did not want to do it for the longest time. And now it's such a great thing and such an art piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really love that. And then our next Artisan of the Year award, that was Mike's project.
Rock Artisan, yeah. Yep.
And that was Night Project.
Yep. One in Huntley's Range.
Yeah. That was a really cool feature because that was pondless water feature that had kind of four starting points and just big, massive pondless feature. She said she wanted an ocean view, and that's what we tried to achieve.
She got an ocean view.
Rocky Mountain ocean view.
A lot of dirt and a lot of grading just to get it to the height we needed.
So our most recent Artisan of the Year was Naturalistic, and that was Mike again.
Yep.
Where are you at?
Oh, just wait until next year.
Yeah, Stein.
Stein's gonna wait until next year.
Man.
Oh, we'll see, Mike.
And Gardner's was just such the location.
Yep.
I mean,
right with the red rocks on the back.
Yep, right on the red rocks. And that backdrop. And beautiful property. What did we do? It was 110 feet on the stream, the pondless waterfall there.
The stream was 110 with the little extra up at the top. So I would say 130.
Oh, yeah, because of that piece that
goes up. Yep, because we extended it up there.
Yeah, and I think the neat thing about that project is we built Bronx water feature.
On the other side of the rock.
Right next door. And then, Gardner had already had a water feature there that was a nightmare. And I actually went to bid rebuilding it for the previous homeowner. And then Gardner moved in and said, okay, I want to finally fix this thing.
He probably saw Bronx and loved it so much.
Oh, yeah, he definitely saw
exactly.
Bronx.
That was the amazing thing. We had that huge red rock formation right through the middle. And then off both sides, you know, one waterfall coming into Bronx property and one waterfall going into Gardner's property. It just
blended well, and they both looked the same.
Same
with
styles.
The same styles with all the rocks and stuff.
Yeah, and you did Bronx as well, so that was the neat thing.
And that was, 3-4 years before that?
Yeah.
So
yeah, because that was one that Tom and Jillian had designed.
Mm-hmm.
I just photograph that we got up there with the red rocks in the background reflecting off of the stream is just
the right sun.
My favorite thing ever.
We need to blow that one up.
Yeah, that'd be great hanging on the wall in the office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shane, what moment or what thing sticks out to you that really got us going, you know, after all of our struggles for the first 4 or 5 years? What one thing sticks out? Something we did?
I don't know. You know, I think, you know, the two guys that are sitting here, you know, Mike and Connor, I think are a big part of that. I think it was getting the right people in place.
It only took 300 people to filter through to get the couple that we got.
Exactly. The hiring nightmare that you never think you'll get to the end of.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once we got Mike involved and got him on board and, you know, started training him and started seeing that he could run a site on his own, I think was the big key to where we could really start branching and growing and going from there. And, you know, I think one of the biggest keys for me and one of the biggest nightmares I had in the early days was the paperwork, the taxes.
I thought that was going to be your first answer.
Yes.
Hiring a secretary of sorts.
Yeah. The office manager was definitely a huge key to it because, you know, I remember we'd be out building all day and then I'd go home and have 20 voicemails and then go through the voicemails and I'd call them back and maybe 6 or 7 of them would answer my return call. And then we'd be out building again the next day. And then the other people that didn't answer called back and then they'd leave a message and I'd have to call them back again. Just such a struggle to keep on top of it, you know, and then my dad retired and became our first office manager.
He was part-time.
Yeah.
that turned into full-time
real quick. Yeah, very quick.
And he was cheap, though. It was nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did a lot for us. And
yeah.
You would never expect that out of a sergeant of robbery and homicide, you know? That could just flip the script and become a secretary. It's odd.
Yeah. I remember with the first Christmas, we got him world's best secretary coffee mug.
Does he still have it?
Yep. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
But that was so key for me, is just getting that off my plate, mm-hmm. so I could focus and move forward and do the things I needed to do to grow the company instead of always just playing catch up with the phone calls.
And the sales, I mean, from that point, skyrocketed. Right. I mean, there, once you could actually focus on it instead of all the other things, that was a big key. You know, as the years went by, we started figuring out what other hats we don't want to wear anymore. And, you know, hiring a full-time secretary that's not your dad. And then as what we added, you know, Izzy as a designer two years ago?
3 years.
Izzy's been around for three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jeez.
I think that was huge. Yeah. I think closing on jobs is a lot higher percent rate now.
Right.
Just having visuals, you know, and people trust us to, you know, be able to do the project start to finish. So
yeah, and it was great working with Tom and Jillian, you know, because they were putting designs together for us, but it still, for me at least, had a little bit of disconnect because we kind
of... It wasn't us.
Yeah, we sold the design and then just passed it off to them, and then we weren't involved until we saw what the design mm-hmm. was. So I think there was some good and bad to that, though. You know, we got a lot of, like Ron von Lubke, mm-hmm. you know, we would not have probably designed that project if it was up to us.
Yeah, but not because, at that point.
Yeah, because Tom and Jillian did design that and really push our limitations, put us out of our comfort zone, push the box, you know, it really took us, made us work at it.
Yeah.
And made us go to that next level. And so I think, you know, using, that's where it was very good. But again, yeah, we didn't have control over the process and the artistic piece of it.
It didn't feel 100% art of the yards.
Right.
And now it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's been the great piece of, with Isabel coming on is, we get to interact with her all the way through the design process and then, you know, really give the customer something we feel we're going to be proud of mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I could definitely say that a homeowner being able to, like, look at the design, specifically the colored prints, they have so much more confidence in just what we're doing and our ability to do so, just because they have that piece of it, especially the 3D designs too.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Mm-hmm. They not only let the homeowner know what we're aiming for and exactly what they're pretty much going to get, it also helps me envision. I'm sure it helps you envision.
It helps me too.
Like hills. It's like, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't think you ever saw the before photos. It was...
Yeah, drastically different.
And Shane explained it. I read the contract and then I saw the 3D model. I was like, oh,
that's what we're doing.
That is so much better.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree. Having Izzy around definitely helps, especially being able to talk to her just in the mornings before going out to the site and all that.
Yeah. And for me, on the sales side of it, you know, I would go out and I'd try to tell a homeowner what I can already envision. And that's so hard to do. Just with words.
And people have to just trust you, which nobody does anymore.
No. Right.
So,
well, it's everybody just thinks we're going after them, but then designs and all that.
Yeah. And that's kind of the amazing piece of it is you take that three-dimensional design out there and they can see it, you know, they can already see it in their environment, in their backyard. And it just, takes it to that next level and really allows them to not go any other direction because they've already seen this vision that makes sense to them and they can see that they're going to enjoy it. What do you enjoy about having designs for your projects?
Just being able to see and kind of relate to it, you know, and it's not going to look the same, but I mean, just being able to have plans and being able to talk to you, discuss stuff, lay it out, and then being able to go to the job site and actually physically.
And it makes your communication with the customer.
Yep.
That much better because you're both on the same page.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think when we first started doing the design, the big fear to me was that it was going to handcuff us on the artistic side of it because, you know, we're already kind of giving them this vision and we like to go out there and build and you get a certain rock, you know, that's going to split the falls or that's going to work to turn the waterfall the other direction. And you want to be able to build with that. But we've never really ran into an issue where somebody, you know, where we took our artistic vision and went with it and created something that was a little above and beyond the design that anybody was ever dishappy with.
Yeah. Well, they also have the confidence in us that it's going to be beautiful and all that. And so if Shane recommends, try this rock, I mean, 23 years of experience in the industry definitely shows. And
it's going to be 30 years.
It's going to be 30?
30 is next
that
year.
That means you're getting old too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still stuck in 2018, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that I feel has really stepped our game up is just focusing on our branding. And that's, you know, not just social media, but our shirts and making sure our employees are all wearing, you know, the same attire. You know, I don't know if you guys, like, when I see other companies out there and they've got 5 or 6 guys and they're all wearing different shirts, that doesn't look professional to me.
No, it doesn't.
And I just wouldn't trust that company as much. So I feel like, you know, just focusing on our branding has been a game changer.
Yeah.
And it's fun to play with new stuff and new logos and.
Yeah. Wrapping the trucks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that going to Ben's site yesterday, having that truck parked out front in Cherry Creek. Like, it's great advertisement.
I got a whole bunch when I was living in Hines Ranch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I bid for somebody 2 doors down from Mike.
Yeah. He calls me. He's like, you home? I'm like, no. He's like, I'm a couple doors down.
Oh. At your house.
You better not be home.
No, I was at work.
Because it's so important. You know, it's your moving billboard everywhere you're at. And I love that when you have the truck and trailer outside and the neighbor comes back and they're like, do you mind if I take a look? What's going on back here?
Or have you come bid something in their yard?
You got a second? Can you come over here? You know.
Right. Yeah, it's so important. And that's why, you know, cleanliness of the job site, the attire that we're wearing, you know, everything's so important because we want to be approachable to all the neighbors. Mm-hmm. We want to look good to the neighborhood, you know, because it's, you know, if I go out to do a bid and it's somebody that's called us just off of Google, you know, they may call 10 other companies and it may come down to who they're most comfortable with. It may come down to just price. But if we're in a neighborhood and somebody calls us because we're working there and we're, you know, taking care of things professionally, like, it's our job, unless it's just the numbers are not even close to what they're thinking. So makes all the difference in the world for the sales side. All right. So yeah, this was our first episode of the Pondside Podcast, and we're really looking forward to doing more of this because I think our whole goal is to, you know, help grow the entire industry. Mm-hmm. And we've got Evo coming out here from, I believe, Germany, from Owosso next week. And that's going to be a great opportunity to sit down and chat with him and going over all of his experiences, because he's seen koi ponds all over the world. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really fun to do that next week and get him on here and pick his brain about, I'm sure he's got some stories about all the great features he's seen around the world. So.